What is going on, everybody? The Bills are 2-0. It's week two, going to week three, heading to Miami, squish the fish week. 41-7 drubbing. I got my guy in the building with me, James Mallory. Mallory, say what's up.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Let's get it. Y'all know how we do.
As we like to call it, NFL pedigree. And guess what? We'll be right back to talk about it all. Yes, yes, yes. As we already did the intro, the Bills crushed the Tennessee Titans on Monday Night Football 41-7. Who the hell did they think we were? We didn't come to play no games. We didn't come to play no games. And if the rest of the league wasn't on notice before last night or after we went to LA and trounced the Rams, you better be on notice now. Mallory, what is going on, man? 41-7 wasn't even close. I know we were talking in the group chat this week when I think my man Scott was like, he was surprised that the NFL was that Vegas was giving the Titans 10 points. And I said, oh, no. The Bills should blow them the hell out, period.
Yeah, they took care of business. It's refreshing to see that because Tennessee kind of been a thorn for us for a little bit now. They've been giving us problems the last couple of years. Last year, they embarrassed us. We went out there and we took care of business. All three phases of the game, special teams, offense, and defense. You notice I said special teams first, right? So, I'm liking what I'm seeing. I'm loving the energy, the passion that they're playing with. Ken Dorsey has pumped life into this offense. And we just got some great leaders. Leadership on this team is unique, man. That's one thing that a lot of people don't talk about is the leadership that we do have on this team. And, man, it's very encouraging what we've seen so far, two games this season.
No, you know what? And I don't think that the leadership we don't speak about the leadership on this team enough, whether as like the Tyler Matakevich, some of the guys who are unsung heroes, right? Mm-hmm. Tyler Matakevich is the captain, Jordan Poyer, you know, obviously Josh Allen, obviously Stephon Diggs is now wearing that C, which is very important. You know what I mean? Because this is a guy who, as we, you know, we both feel wrong. We didn't know if he's going to be a diva coming to Buffalo or not. You know what I'm saying? So there's a lot about this leadership stemming down from Sean McDermott and olive branches from Brandon Bean and how they run this team. But I want to talk about this game a little bit and just the overall stats. I mean, the Bills held Derrick Henry to 13 carries for 25 yards on 13 carries for 1.9 yards on average. He did have the one touchdown. Ryan Tannehill, 11 to 20, 117 yards, two interceptions. Treylon Burks was the leading receiver, four catches, 47 yards. I mean, the fact that the Bills went and held the Titans to only 187 yards total and 4-12 on third downs, that says a lot. And like you said, I agree with you. The Titans have been a thorn in our side.
Yeah,
they've given us problems the last 3 years. Even the one game we won up in Tennessee a couple of years ago, they still gave us problems there as well.
Absolutely. You know, it's a matchup thing where they just match up. And this game right here shows what Bean and McDermott did in the offseason, right? They wanted to get better in the trenches because that's where we're losing critical games. We're in the trenches, right?
Right.
And even though we lost some of the battles, we didn't lose the war in the trenches. And this shows what they did in the offseason. They got better on the offensive line, and they got better on the defensive line. If they didn't do that, the outcome of this game would have been totally different. And by us being better up front, we were able to dominate and win 41-7. So I think that goes to show that's what they built this team for. And, you know, they said it during the game last night was, hey, they want to get 15 down. You know, that was Mahomes. Getting to the quarterback and pressures is cool, but you got to get them down. And these guys are getting after it, man. And then stuffing the run. Jordan Phillips, OMG. That dude, we missed him. And you know one thing we miss most about him up front is that energy. Getting the crowd into it, getting pumped up, showing life. Not that we didn't. Ed Oliver does that, but Jordan Phillips – he takes that to a whole nother level. Like, he's, man, he's been a great addition.
Yeah, and like I said, but back to your point, like the Titans being a bad matchup. For one, they're a bad matchup because of the physicality they bring. That's the where it starts at. Yeah. It's the physicality they bring. Mike Vrabel has those guys. They play like an old NFC East team, essentially, right? You're gonna come out of a game whether you win or lose. you're gonna feel that you're gonna know you played the Tennessee Titans. I thought last night we matched your physicality. Not so much in the trenches on the offensive side. Sorry, trying to run the football, but on the defensive side for sure. And it didn't seem like that we were down two defensive tackles. It didn't seem like we were down Tim Settle. It didn't seem like we were down Ed Oliver. So shout out to Brandon Bryant and Brewer for stepping in and playing well of a game. And you know, one thing I noticed about our defensive tackle spot last night, Greg Rousseau lined up a lot at that three technique. And now Leslie Frazier is getting a little creative, right? Now we're doing things where we're putting Von Miller and Greg Rousseau on the same side rushing.
Yep.
Because you have so much versatility with guys like Boogie Basham, with AJ Epenesa, with Shaq Lawson. Guess what? We're just gonna activate Shaq Lawson this week. Let's just put him on the field. Like, when you look at how deep this team is and the versatility we have, and I'll go back to saying this again. I put on Twitter a couple weeks ago, and I'll keep saying this. This, by far, is the deepest roster that this Buffalo Bills team has ever had, that I've ever seen, at least, even in the Super Bowl years. It's person on person. No Tre'Davious White. Okay, we're going to draft Kyir Elam. We got Dane Jackson, and we got Christian Benford, who we're going to talk about him because I know Benford's your guy, right? So Dane Jackson goes down, okay? And prayers for Dane. Good thing he's walking, so prayers up for him, right? Dane goes down in the middle of the game. We're going to bring our first-round pick, Kyir Elam, off the bench. Now you're going to go play. So next week, if Dane can't go and Tre'Davious is not back yet, obviously, then we're going to bring Cam Lewis. We're going to activate Cam Lewis. Who's played some games too as well, right?
Yep.
Micah Hyde goes down. We're going to just slide Jaquan Johnson in, who's arguably, he may be able to be a starter in this NFL. That's fine.
Yeah.
So we're just bringing on body after body. Next thing you know, Gabe Davis injured his ankle in practice. Well, we're going to activate Jake Kumerow, who Aaron Rodgers loves. He just goes out there and makes a 40-yard catch, plays special teams.
Yep.
This roster is so damn deep, man. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, you know, it's the next man up mentality, but the next man up isn't so bad though, right? And that changes things, you know, when that next man up isn't so bad. Where, think about it, like, let's think about our practice squad, right? Isaiah Hodges. He probably, in, let's say, 5-6 years ago, he's a guy for us, right? And now he's a guy that we stash on the practice squad. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at Cam Lewis. Cam Lewis can play in this league. He's not active. You just kind of look at, like you said, the depth on this roster. Man, it's awesome to have that. So when somebody does go down, unfortunately, you know the person that's coming to replace him, it's not a huge drop-off, right? Where that guy can hold it down, hold the fort down, and be able to give us still a chance to win the ball game. So it's just, man, it's awesome to have the depth that we have, man, and this is what we all been waiting for as Bills fans for a long time. Did I say long? I mean long time.
No, I mean, like I said, I want to talk about a little bit about the performance by Stephon Diggs tonight. We're going to talk about it because he's just playing out of his mind right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he's taking somebody's receiver list personally, because when you hear about the best receivers in the NFL, he's mentioned, right? He's mentioned. We hear Davante Adams. You know, we hear these other names. His name is thrown in there, but it's like, oh yeah, he's good, right? It's not like hey, that's Stephon Diggs. He may be the baddest man in the NFL at that position.
Yeah.
So you know, nothing happens. Gabe Davis goes down. Say, okay, we got Kumerow going. What does Steph do? Goes out there, 12 catches, 148 yards, 3 touchdowns. Right.
And he has the most catches with a new team over his first few seasons.
Over Wes Walker.
He's broke the record yesterday, yeah. Right?
Yeah, he broke it. He needed 11 to go into the game. I mean, we know that Stephon and Josh, we've seen this before. They look at the numbers. They know it.
Of course, JT, you know this. You know they like, oh, he happened to have 12 catches. Oh, I didn't know that he needed a 12 to break that record. Come on, man. You know, and that's something that kind of drives them, which is cool. You know what I'm saying? Something to strive for. It's not something that hurts the team. It helps the team. I mean, the targets to Stephon Diggs, it's not like he's just freestyling and making up his own thing. The man is open. He's making the proper reads, getting the ball. And that dude, man, I'm happy once again. We signed him to an extension this offseason. Because imagine if we'd have waited, how expensive it would be.
After that Christian Kirk deal? After that Christian Kirk deal reset the market, it could have got more expensive. And let's be honest too. He could have put the Tyreek Hill and said, hey, you know what? Last week this deal was good. This week is not good right now. Mm-hmm. He didn't do that. He honored what they had negotiated because it's understanding the best fit for him.
Yeah.
You know, and like I said, I'm with you. I think we both agree that maybe we're both a little wrong on Stephon Diggs and who he was coming to Buffalo. I'm not going to lie. I was a tad bit worried.
I was pissed because we gave up a first round pick. And I'm like, come on. I knew, I'm not saying he wasn't good, but I'm like, right. Come on, you could have gave him a 2 or 3. Why at first? I was mad. My brother was like, immediately, he's like, dude, you tripping. He's like, no way. He's like, he's a baller. He's like, my brother was happy. Rel was, he was amped up. He's like, I'm telling you, he's about to kill here. I was the total opposite. Like, man, I'm happy we got him, but first round pick? Man, this dude, he's exceeded expectations. Man, something crazy.
Yeah, I mean, and exceeding, and it's getting better week by week. Like, they haven't even developed their full chemistry yet. And it's getting better and better week by week. And, I mean, shout out to the Tennessee Titans for thinking that, you could man up Stephon Diggs. B, thinking you can guard Stephon Diggs without even trying to bracket him. I mean, that if that wasn't the most egregious and arrogant defense I've ever seen. You deserve to have 3 catches, over 140 yards, and 3 touchdowns on your head. And then you give him one-on-one with single high safety?
Yeah, that's just lined up saying, we're better than you. Try us.
Well, they did. They tried you 12 times for in the tune of 148 yards and 3 touchdowns. And then at that, you got young cornerbacks. What are you thinking? Are you that arrogant? Seriously. And then after at least the first 6 catches, you choose not to change something? We're just not going to change anything. Yeah. We got this. We look at the scoreboard. We're down by 21, but we got this. Yeah, okay. I'll tell you what. That time for the Titans, Tennessee, they're no longer throwing it outside. That time is come and gone. They're in the basement of the AFC South, which the AFC South is a basement. It's just about what... It's just about which crab is going to get out of that bucket, essentially.
It's already over.
The Colts, it's awful.
Bad. Dude, the Jags.
Promising, but not good. The Texans, listen, they're just getting over the massages, okay? They're still paying off the massage money. So we got to get them a little bit. We got to get them a little bit of time to rub that out. No, no pun intended.
Oh my God!
and the Titans, right? So Titans, what? 1-2.
It's the Titans, Jags, Texans, and we missing one more.
The Colts, which Frank Wright's probably about to get fired.
Oh yeah. So honestly, the Jags may have a legitimate chance to win that division.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Wait,
the Jags are first place in the division right now.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll stay that way, but you never know.
Yeah.
Never know.
If they run off a few games, man, you never know. Because the way it's looking, if Tennessee lose another game, right, you have to go to Willis. You got to bench Tannehill and go to Willis.
Oh yeah, I mean I don't think he's ready for the NFL. But
that's at that point in time, if you 0-3, yeah, you gotta make that change. Yeah. In my opinion,
I mean, like I said, you know, but going back to this game, right? I'm thinking in my head, the Bills defense took this Derrick Henry thing personal. They took it personal. I think last year they felt that they got laughed out. I think they looked at as they see the Josh Norman stiff arm over and over. You know, you saw Micah Hyde get ran over last year. In reality, when you go back to the Derrick Henry performance, he really historically he hasn't really been good against the Bills. And outside, I think, was it a 60-yard run he had last year for a touchdown?
Yeah, he had that long run. Yeah, he broke that long one.
Outside of that long run, the numbers were actually average. It seemed like it was a lot better than what it was. It really wasn't. The Bills have been historically good, but last night they took it personal. They didn't want to let him get anything. And shout out to that boy Tremaine Edmonds. You want to talk about filling lanes, picking the correct lanes, making contact? Tremaine's had a well of a game. And I know a lot of people talk about his awareness, but he was pretty aware last night.
I'm scared to death we're going to lose that dude, man. I know we are. And Bills fans talking all that trash. That's a huge void, man, that dude leave. But yeah, we'll talk about that another day.
That's another conversation.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know. You know, it's just I thought, Josh, what do you think about Josh's performance last night? I thought that he was accurate. At the beginning of the game, I thought we got Sugar Rush Allen a little bit. He was a little he was a little wound up. And I'm glad that, you know, Sean McDermott did bring the team around. And I think he said he held him up, told everybody to calm down after that they came and played ball. You know, we got the little Sugar Rush last night. I know on the one, a RPO, where he tried to run and he threw the ball, that could have ended up really badly.
Yeah, definitely. I'm just making sure to sweet. He showed he's elite. He's the top five quarterback in the NFL, maybe top three. He's elite, period. Nothing else to talk about. That's what he showed me. And it continues to show he's elite. Not good. Yeah. He's elite. I already said it before. People can get mad at me, whatever. He's the best quarterback the Bills has ever had.
I don't think that's a question. You know what I mean? I know people are going to say, you know, he needs to get the 4 Super Bowls, but I kind of with you where I look at it as that's a different era. You know what I mean? The previous Bills Super Bowl teams, that's kind of before free agency. So you were able to keep teams together no matter what. There was no quarterbacks that had to take pay cut. I think there was a stat where I think Jim Kelly was the second or highest paid person in the league, and it was only like $7 million for the season.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, obviously back then players had to go through arbitration, think, really, to be free agents. You had to go through court.
I think Elway was the only player paid higher than Jim Kelly. I think that's what it was. He was second.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was a different time. Like, I even go back to, a lot of people don't realize from that era that Bruce Smith actually signed with the Broncos. I think in 1989, and Ralph Wilson took the whole 6 to 7 days to match that contract. So Bruce Smith was gone. That's how free agency worked back then. So, like I said, that's why if you have to ask me, I'm going to give Allen the edge, just because we're in a different era where you're losing coordinators, you're losing backups, you're losing key role players, you know what I mean? And it has to be next man up in this era, just for the simple fact that next man is coming up if you're a good team sooner than later.
Yeah.
No matter what you're doing. But I thought his performance was really good. I thought he showed that moxie. He calmed down. He got his number one target, the ball. That's the only thing you ask for. If you have a Stephon Diggs, if you have a Davante Adams, if you have a Mike Evans, if you have a true number one receiver, you have to get them the football. You have to get creative. He didn't have to get creative last night. Tennessee made it easy for us. But yeah, every time he could, he torched them.
You want to know one thing that people aren't talking about? He controlled the game without using his legs.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of people aren't talking about that. People are saying, well, he runs a lot. He can't take those hits. What can you say now? He dropped back and he used his right arm to really do what he had to do.
Yeah.
You know, so what can you say now? He took care of business.
He picked him apart. 26 of 38, 317 yards, 4 touchdowns.
Yep.
I mean, 1 carry, 10 yards.
4 first down.
4 first down and a leap over. Still got the leap. It wasn't a wholehearted leap. It was a half a leap, but still a leap. It's as my guy Mud Dog says, yeah, he seems more patient this year. He's controlling the game with his eyes. He's controlling the game with his mind. He's making changes at the line of scrimmage. Did you notice how many changes the line of scrimmage he made last night?
Oh yeah, I did.
What do you do? And I mean, I think that the commentator said off the throw, like, you're looking at the throws that Tannehill's trying to make, and this dude just casually throws the ball from the left hash 40 yards on a rope down to Reggie Gilliam. And like you said earlier on the phone, if that's any other player besides maybe Reggie Gilliam, not that's a knock on Reggie Gilliam, because for a technical fullback, that was a hell of an effort to make a catch on that ball. That ball is probably caught.
Absolutely. If you got it, that's even a tight end. Just say Quentin Morris, the ball's caught. We having a conversation about what an amazing throw that was. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's insane. I want to talk about, too, I noticed something last night. Von Miller's snap count, 55% last night. Another game where you're keeping him fresh. Week one, 53% snap count. Now, I know when he got here, we were saying that one of the reasons we thought he came to Buffalo was for that reason. Keep his snap count low, stay fresh. And I was to call him 60%. Because he's used to playing anywhere from 72 to 77% of the snaps from when he was with Denver and LA.
You know how fresh he's going to be come week 15? Extremely. Like, think about the snaps that he's saving. We're saving him. I mean, that's going to extend his career. That's going to make him, you know, down the stretch, he's going to be a lot fresher. I'm excited, man. We only got to play Von Miller 55% of snaps, and we still be just knocking people off. That's good. That's good stuff.
As Sean McDermott said last year or the year before, he would love to have a couple games where he could just sit back and drink some Gatorade. Two games this year, two games where he could sit back and drink some Gatorade by the third quarter.
Yep.
That's huge. That's huge. It's huge from a rest standpoint as well. So, obviously, last night we got hit with a little bit of the injury bug, something that we can honestly say we're not used to here in Buffalo the last couple of years, getting hit with the injury bug. Obviously, scary, scary situation with Dane Jackson. And I do want to talk about Hassan Haskins pulling him off. I think people mistaken something for something. I want to talk about that. Obviously, Micah Hyde went to the hospital with a neck injury. We don't know what the status of that is. They didn't really leash too much on it. Jordan Phillips pulled his hamstring on the Matt Milano interception return. If you saw him fall down, I thought he just fell jokingly, but it was obviously a hamstring pull. Was that the only injury? Was that the last injury for last night? I believe that was. And actually, Mitch Morse went out the game for a little bit with an elbow injury, and Van Roten came up, but I did see Mitch Morse return, so I don't know what the status that is.
With his ankle. They had to retape that ankle.
Yeah, it was ankle, it was a foot. He seemed like he was fine after, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So what do you think about the injuries and just the depth of this team overall? And honestly, out of all these guys, I'm assuming who you think's the worst loss if one guy can't play next week? Is it Mitch Morse or is it Micah Hyde?
Oh, man. So for me, I'm going to have to say Micah Hyde for next week.
Okay.
If it is a situation where one of them got to miss a game because of Miami's passing attack, obviously. I think if he has to miss a game, it's going to be woof, because that's the best safety. We got the best safety tandem in the league. So Micah Hyde do have to miss a game. That's a situation where we're really, really going to be. Mitch Morris, I hurt, but it's just different with Micah Hyde. It's different, man. You know, because he's such a leader back there. He makes big plays, short tackler. It's a bunch of different things that goes on in a good way when Micah Hyde is there. So Hyde definitely for me. What you thinking, JT?
I mean, I'd probably say Micah Hyde, you know, just for the simple fact that if it was a different opponent next game, I'd probably say Mitch Morris. But because it's the Dolphins, and I feel like the Dolphins is a strictly finesse team, and the fact that, you know, you're about to go up against Gesicki, Hill, Waddle, Wilson, Edmonds, Mostert, this new-look Dolphins team, I'm going to have to say that Micah Hyde is more important at this moment in time.
Yep.
You know, and obviously, I think the next game we have is the Baltimore next and then Kansas City.
Yeah, Baltimore, then Pittsburgh. Is it Kansas City or Pittsburgh? No, it's Kansas City, Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah, Kansas City and Pittsburgh. So it's obviously, I'm going to say Micah Hyde. This is a some pretty strong offenses that we're playing, some pretty good offensive coordinators. So, obviously, hopefully he doesn't miss any time. We don't really know what happened. They just said neck injury. They say he did go to the hospital, which it seems like it's just more of an evaluation thing. To like, hey, let's make sure everything's okay. But anytime somebody gets a neck injury, we don't know.
Yep.
You know, it's a scary thing. So, I'm going to go with Micah Hyde there. But I would say Mitch Morse is extremely important as well because he's the quarterback at the offensive line. And obviously an offensive line that did not play much together in the preseason or training camp, where obviously Roger Saffold missed time in training, a lot of training camp with after the car accident. Spencer Brown had a back injury. Deion Dawkins, he's back and healthy, but still, like I said, just all five guys, they have not really been together too much except maybe a week or two, really, when you think about it. So, I don't know. It's just, you know, just a couple of things that we wanted to talk about there as far as the injuries. But back to that depth part, this is the most comfortable I felt with having some injuries and saying, okay, we're going to make it out of it. Because if you go back a couple of years ago as far as injuries, we lose somebody. That's it. Like I said, you lose a linebacker, you had a guy like Keith Ellison coming in and playing.
JT, I'm having a good day. You're going to do that to me. You're going to do that to me,
man. Just saying, man.
Come on, JT.
That's what it was. There was no Jaquan Johnsons or Kumaros or these guys or Jordan Phillips to come in and play. It was guys like Keith Ellison and hell, I don't even remember half these guys they played, you know. It was some pretty bad players. And I have no disrespect, bad players compared to their peers, but still bad players nonetheless. To be tend to be depending on.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, it's just, I know Ray Cruz asked a good question. Now with the cornerbacks, is Joe Hayden on the radar now? It's a good question.
Practice squad candidate? What you think, JT?
Yeah, I mean, he wouldn't be on the practice squad long. I mean, if you sign Joe Hayden, he's going to play immediately. You know, I mean, he's Joe Hayden. He's,
no, you know, can stash veterans now on the practice squad.
No, you can.
And then call them up. So that's what a lot of people are doing with these veterans. Cole Beasley, so to say.
Yeah, I mean, you can. I just don't see it happen if we sign Joe Hayden. I would think he would be thrown in action immediately. Now, would his snap count vary? I think it would be a little bit on the lower end when we first got him. But until Tre'Davious White came back, yeah. I don't think we're even going to have to go that route. I mean, obviously it depends on Dane Jackson. I think the Bills are okay going to the next couple of games to see what Kyler Elam and Benford gives you.
Yeah, I agree.
You know? So, if they haven't gone that route yet, I don't think they will. I mean, you're going to get Tre'Davious White back probably week, Green Bay Packer week regardless. So, I'll say no for now. But I'll wait for a report on Dane Jackson as well. We'll see. Because I still think they're saving that money for Odell Beckham. Personally.
Yeah, I mean, that would make sense. I agree.
Yeah, I think that's the move down the line. But, you know, I want to actually, before we get too far in this show, now I know you guys have heard us talking about, I don't know if you guys have been watching, but we've been talking about the third annual Mafia Homecoming Party. This year is going to be October 7th at Resurgence Brewing in Buffalo from 6 to 11 p.m. We actually got a nice promo code for you. Bills win for 10% off. Now, this party is going to be hosted by Bills former Bills Pro Bowl center Eric Wood. Our guy Matt Perino is going to be the official MC of the party, Bills reporter Matt Perino. So we'll have more things popping up before we get to this event. So I just want to make sure you guys get your tickets. There's only 50 VIP tickets available for this event. But you can, in the caption of this show, you'll see the link to go take a leap and buy your tickets. And if you want 10% off, the promo code is BILLSWIN. It's for 10% off. It expires on the 24th and is only available for 41 hours in honor of the Bills' 41 points that they put on the Titans for the dub. So make sure you guys get your tickets for the third annual Mafia Homecoming Party. A lot of planning went into this. It's going to be a fun time. Trust me, if you've been to other two, this is going to be the best one yet. I guarantee it. So, Ken Dorsey. James, we're two games in. Ken Dorsey has this offense plan. Some good ball. 23 first downs. I'm sorry. I said 62 total first downs in the first two games. Touchdowns, eight touchdowns total, or nine, yeah, 8 touchdowns total. Turnover ratio is -4. We've only given up 5 sacks. Is there anything else that we want from Ken Dorsey in our first 2 games? What are you seeing? What do you like? What don't you like?
Ken Dorsey's gone. Somebody's going to snap him up really freaking quick. Like, really, really quick, man. He's I've been calling for him to be the OC for a couple of years now because of his creative mind. Being at the U, playing with those players, I figured he would have quite of an imagination on how to be able to get people the ball. I'm excited about that. I'm very excited about what he has brought to this team, right? Where you're using the fullback. Reggie Gilliam is a part of this offense where he's able to spring big blocks and you're getting the ball into Diggs' hands. You're finding different ways, different formations. You're motioning things. Josh has more control. I really, really like what I see out of Ken Dorsey, and I can't really say I'm surprised. I knew this would come because I figured he would be pretty successful. So, man, he's doing a damn good job, okay. Period.
I mean, last night, let's just think about this, right? We found a way to get not only Stephon Diggs, Jake Kumerow got the football, Jameson Crowder got the football, Isaiah McKenzie touched the football, Dawson Knox touched the football multiple times, Quentin Morris touched the football, Zach Moss touched the football, Devin Singletary, Reggie Gilliam, and then we finish it off with James Cook at the end of this game. Okay, we're finding ways to get everybody, every weapon we have involved in the game. That's something that we did not previously have under Brian Daboll. Yeah. He was not very good at getting everybody and every type of player he had in the football game. They said something during the broadcast last night which spoke volumes of Ken Dorsey. Ken Dorsey's on record for saying one of the things he wanted to do with his offense was bring formation versatility, which we saw multiple different sets last night. We saw multiple two running back sets. We've seen that the first 2 weeks. Some sets with Singletary and Moss. Some sets with Moss and Cook. Some double tight end sets. Some sets with McKenzie and Crowder. We saw McKenzie line up in the backfield yesterday 3 or 4 times. Why is he getting the best out of these players? What's making him so different that he's able to get everybody involved and in spots that those players are comfortable with touching the football and trying to make plays?
Well, he has a creative mind, and two, he's trusting in the players, right? He doesn't get caught up in, okay, I know Diggs going to make the play. I know Knox going to make the play. So if I'm in a crunch, those are two I'm looking for. Yeah, that makes sense. At the same time, you have to trust the other guys on the field. I think just trusting them and putting faith into them. And I think that's really working for him because players know when you trust them and whatnot. And I believe he trusts those players with that creative mind. He put things out there and give them the opportunity to make plays.
It's just crazy to me because outside of James Cook, this is pretty much the same players we've had the last couple of years. Adding Crowder, but take away Beasley, right? You know, adding Cook, but reality, you kind of had someone similar to him in what's our guy there that
TJ Yeldon?
TJ Yeldon. And we could never find a way to use him under Daboll. This offense looks so different, and it's to the point where as a defense, I don't know how you prepare for it because as physical as the Titans came out on defense last night, I felt like if we had a Brian Daboll as the offensive coordinator still, that game would have been a lot closer than it should have been.
Absolutely. Talk that talk.
You know, I do. I think it would have been a lot closer than it should have been. And for whatever reason, Daboll never matched up well with physical defenses. Where Ken Dorsey said, okay, you're going to do this, I'm going to do that. And then when I'm done, at the end of the day, I'm going to rack my papers up with a smile as they put in the broadcast, and I'm going to get ready to go celebrate with my team. He's taken Josh Allen to that next level. And this is not a knock on Brian Daboll, because Brian Daboll did a very good job. Maybe he doesn't get enough credit for kind of developing Josh. And as I see Daniel Jones look a lot better in New York, okay, that leads me to give Brian Dable a little more credit than I did previously. Boy, Ken Dorsey is just taking this to a whole different level. And this is why we keep saying, enjoy it right now, because we're getting 1 year of him as offensive coordinator and someone's going to give him a head coaching job. And the reason he's going to take a head coaching job next year, because there's probably going to be some damn good jobs out there.
Yeah, it will be. And I guarantee you it's at least two teams in the league right now that got him number one on their list for candidates, head coaching candidates. So, yeah, we're probably going to lose him.
Cody Wells asked a good question. Do you think that the years he spent with the players before he was promoted was key to his chemistry now?
Absolutely, because you get to know your get to know your people. You get to know what they thinking, how they felt about Dable, how they felt they could have been utilized. He took all that in, and then sitting back watching, you're able to be like, okay, when I'm the OC, I won't do that. When I'm the OC, or I am going to bring that on board, I'm going to do this. And so you can kind of sit back and just dissect things and see what works, what won't work. Especially that most of these guys are dudes you had in the past. You just know how to implement things and go from there.
Like I said, it just goes back to putting guys in the correct positions that they can succeed and where they're comfortable at, and you can tell they're comfortable. But I still say there's room for improvement, right? If you had to give him a grade right now, you guys could play along with us in the chat. If you had to give him a grade right now, what would you give him for the first two games so far?
A-.
Okay, I'm with you. Same here. Why?
I'm going to give him an A- because versatility. There's still a lot. You haven't. I can't give him a full out strong A or A+ because they haven't been really tested yet. Where back against the wall, got to make a crucial decision. The game is tied. It's 3rd and 6. What's he going to do? We haven't seen that yet. But we don't want to see it. So we don't see it. I mean, we just dogging people. But I want to see how he handles things in those type of situations.
I'm with you with the A-. Now, personally, I do think that we have seen a couple of situations where it was tight and we had to get some movement on offense. Where I thought coming out of halftime in the Rams game, we needed to get some separation and we did. And the same thing last night, you know, going to halftime, we need a little bit of separation. We got it. It's like after he got from his first couple of game plan scripts and he started calling plays, it was like, bang, everything's good. Bang, this is good. Bang, this is hitting. You know what I mean? He's calling his shots at the right time.
Yeah.
What I think is huge as offensive coordinator. That's part of the game. It's trying to find where you call your shots. I also think last night, I'm actually happy he went away from the running game. I know my man Mike Beck says he banned the running game, Singletary, a little too quickly, which I know we broke for proponents of. We wanted to see Devin Singletary get more touches, right? I'm actually happy he abandoned the running game when he did last night, because I thought if he didn't, it would have been forcing an issue for no reason. The Titans were keying in a running game for whatever reason. I don't know why in God's green earth you would do that, but they did. So I'm happy he didn't abandon it. He did abandon it last night, to be honest.
Yeah, so when you a good OC is going to take what the defense gives you, right? So they're going to take away the running game, right? You got one of the best route runners and one of the best wide receivers in the league, one-on-one with a rookie. Look, we got to talk about that. Like, really? Like, you going to stick with the run game when you got a rookie corner lined up with one of the best to do it? Come on now, ain't that much to talk about.
It was just, I go back to the point where the Titans' arrogance and stupidity, it was like 60% of them getting their asses beat in the ground last night.
Yeah.
Like that, like the fact that you just disrespected Stephon Diggs like that just made zero sense to me. And it also adds up to the point where, well, maybe that's why you disrespected AJ Brown in contract negotiation. He's over here catching balls in Philly. And why you had no number one receiver to go to last night.
Yeah. None.
So, I think that proved, too, last night, you have to have a number one receiver in this league.
Yeah, you have to. You have to have that reliable guy that's going to come through in the clutch for you. 3rd and 8 in big plays, you need that guy. No matter what people say, you're going to need that guy.
Right. But you know what? Kudos to Ken Dorsey for his first two games. He gets a little taste of the division game next week. Going to be interesting how he calls Miami. Miami is, they can put up points. Like I said, they had a crazy comeback this week, and claps to Miami. Kudos to them for the game that they had against the Ravens. I know a lot of people don't want to give credit to Tua, but you know what? I'm going to give the guy credit.
Yeah.
Hell of a game. Anytime you throw for 469 yards and 6 touchdowns in an NFL game, that should be applauded. Yeah. So I'm going to give the guy credit for that. But we've had, I don't know, we've had more success than we needed to against Tua since he's coming to the NFL. But obviously he didn't have Tyreek Hill. He didn't have these guys he got with Edmonds and Mostert. But it's going to be interesting to see what we do and how Ken Dorsey calls that game going against Xavier Howard and things as such. Assuming Xavier Howard's going to probably follow Stephon Diggs next week.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, man, I'm thoroughly pleased. I know one of the things that we wanted to I wanted to touch on tonight, too, before we left, was where do you think Sean McDermott head is at with this team right now? And we're going to talk, I know people want to talk about the Bobby Hart, Jeffrey Simmons. I don't know if you've ever been a part of something like that. But what do you think about how Sean McDermott is handling this team right now?
I think he just died in the ship. You got some strong leadership. Everybody knows you've been here for quite a bit now. Everybody knows what you expect. Everybody knows the expectations. Everybody knows what they're supposed to do. So you guide the ship. And anybody that gets in the way of that vision, they got to go. And I don't think nobody's going to get in the way of that. I like how he's handling the team so far in regards to everything. So we want some.
So obviously, if you guys don't know, Bobby Hart has been suspended for one game. Apparently, after the game, Bobby had an altercation with Jeffrey Simmons, which I kind of remember that. I think it was in the fourth quarter. I think I remember seeing that altercation. I saw them get breaking up just a little bit, right? Apparently, Bobby caught Jeffrey in the tunnel, wanting to fight, threw a punch and punched a Titans coach in the head. So he's suspended for one game. First of all, have you ever been a part of something like that, whereas college, somebody tried to catch somebody in the tunnel?
I have not. I can't say I have. Most of the time when people arguing and all this stuff, it ends on the field. Maybe a little social media bashing. That ain't about nothing. But that, I've never been a part of that. That is unique. I've never been a part of something like that. So, obviously, he did something to tick Bobby Hart off because Bobby Hart, he wanted to handle that.
I'm going to tell y'all something, man. I'm going to tell you something. Y'all going to stop disrespecting Bobby Hart. Okay? We saw it at the blue and red game with Ed Oliver, right? Bobby's ready to go. Bobby will meet you in any corner, in anywhere. You're going to stop playing with Bobby Hart. He will put them hands on you. Okay?
That's the type. That's what you want out of the alignment, though.
Yeah. I mean, I'd rather Bobby Hart, when the game is over, let the game be over, right? Because that could turn into an ugly situation. But once again, I remember a couple years ago, I was so happy when we signed Quentin Jefferson, right? Because he tried to go up in that crowd and fight them fans when he's with the Seahawks. And I said, yeah, I like that type of craziness. Because I believe in that every championship team has to have some type of Charles Haley crazy, Greg Lloyd craziness on that roster. You got to have a goon. And I didn't know this roster had a goon. But now I know. It's Bobby Hart. And Bobby, you say something wrong to Bobby, Bobby will lay your ass out. So, league, you on notice. You hit Josh Allen late, you ain't going to get John Feliciano pushing you around. Or, Bobby Hart going to catch you in the tunnel, the locker room, near the bus, maybe at your daughter's recital. You going to stop playing around with Bobby. You damn right, Bobby. We swinging. So we won't be without Bobby Hart week 3. But kudos to Bobby. We don't play no games here in Buffalo. Y'all notice. First time in Buffalo, man. I've never seen anything in a tunnel happen in Buffalo since Brian Cox walked down the tunnel and gave a finger.
The tunnel's usually chilled out. It's usually, all right, man, you know, I'll talk to you, man. Wish the fuck, man. Dang, y'all got us today. Bobby Hart took it to a whole another level.
Well, we
got to handle this.
Well, they first said that Bobby went across the field and found Jeffrey Simmons on the field.
I was confused at first.
Well, I guess the story goes, he went across the field first after the game was over to find Jeffrey. So something had to be said, right? Then, I guess I'm assuming Jeffrey didn't want no smoke with OG Bobby Hart. Okay? So, Bobby wasn't letting it go. Bobby said, I want some in the tunnel. You want to fight? I'm going to punch your coach. I'm going to punch your coach. Fine. Now I'll punch your coach. What you going to do? And Jeffrey still don't want no smoke. So I guess Jeffrey, you know, fake tough guy. Just know, man. Come to Buffalo, man. We got Bobby Hart waiting for you. Hit Josh if you want to. My man Joe English says, rumor is Simmons said ranch is better than blue cheese.
Oh, no.
You win the night with that comment, Joe. You win the night with that. Yeah, Shaq Lawson. I forgot about Shaq Lawson. Yeah, he carried the tunnel too. Yeah, you're right. He did fight for that. Yep, you're right. Cody and Leroy, you guys are right on about that. Cody Wells says the tunnel will now be known as Cell Block Bobby. Leroy Winslow says Bobby D Block Hart.
Oh my god.
I was in Wild World's older couple 70s when they were matching 17 jerseys. I could go Bills. Yeah, baby. It's something about Miami. Do Miami. We support the Bills heavy too. Just bust out loud. Monzo. But now, before we go, man, anything else you want to talk about tonight? Because, I mean, obviously we got Miami coming up. I know Cody asked, how do you guard Wells? I mean, not Wells. Jeez, that's his last name. Waddle and Hill here.
You do what you do. You ain't got to overcomplicate things. Do what you do.
Mm-hmm. What's that? Pass rush?
Yeah. Play sound discipline football. Pass rush, play zone, and play football. Yeah, I mean, you're not gonna reinvent the wheel. You're not gonna put a magical defense in. That's gonna slow them dudes down. Like turn them into 4.8 40 guys. They're fast. They're gonna be fast right now. They'll be fast Sunday. So you just gotta be ready for it. Do what you do and do what you do better than they do what they do, and you win.
So far this season, if you could pick a most improved player on the Bills roster, who was it?
Ooh, good one.
Through two games.
Russo?
Yeah, man. Yeah. Yeah. And that's not who I was thinking. But absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That dude's a monster.
Yeah.
He gets down the line on run plays. He's rushing from the three technique. He's rushing for the three technique on the defensive line. He's rushing for both sides on the defensive line. Yeah. Oh, my God. I mean, you know, I was just thinking last night about that. I'm like, you know what? Brandon Bean is really a genius, right? So when it's time to opt out of that Von Miller contract, because you're probably going to opt out after the year three, right? It's going to be time to play Greg Rousseau. So you're just going to reallocate the money.
If Von Miller's still playing at a high level, they'll either extend that contract and soften that blow, the cap blowout, or he'll agree to new terms and take lesser money, take a pay cut.
Well, that's if Boogie Basham and Epinesa aren't playing at a high level. Because that's another element we have to add into that.
Yep.
Every time we see Basham, we seen that Basham match in 2 weeks. I love guys who can find the football. I know you as a coach, you tell guys all the time, find the football, find the fumble, grab the interception, tip drill. And last night on that Jordan Poyer interception, great tip drill by Micah Hyde. That's just how it's coached up when we do it in practice.
Absolutely.
And the tip, it's a diagonal. Great tip drill there. So I don't know. If I had to go one, I didn't think about Rousseau. I was actually thinking Edmonds. But as you say that, I have to agree with you. But Edmonds needs a round of applause too. I mean,
oh yeah,
he's sniffing everything. Leroy says, as Edmonds says, because the DT is playing better, he's letting the middle linebacker do what he's supposed to do. Keep letting him float him tackle. You said that all offseason.
Yeah. Yeah, he wasn't getting much help up front. So he's getting that now. Right.
So any bold prediction for we got time. Maybe we'll fit another Bills Dolphins show. I don't know. Maybe we'll fit one in before the game. Any bold predictions for this Bills Dolphins game?
Bills won by 20.
By 20? I can see that. I'll go with that. I'll double up with you on that one. Bills won by 20. And actually, I think last night there was some type of record. The Bills have won, was it 8 straight games by 20 or more?
Something like that.
Yeah. Like I said, they're not just beating people. They're pounding. They're drinking Gatorade in the third quarter. Shoulder pads is off.
Yeah.
Boys is making plans for the night. It's 7:47 left in the third quarter. And you're making plans of what you're going to do when you get home now. Whether that be video games, whether it's going to get something to eat, whether it be watching a movie. I mean, these boys not even come out of the game sore.
No, for real, though. For real.
No, I don't need the ice tub tonight. I'm good. This is great. I mean, this is a great time to be a Bills fan, man. And I just hope that – I want to say something to Bills Mafia, too. You know, I know that Bills Mafia is broken up in a bunch of different pockets of fans. And I know as fans and as most of we call each other family, right? We don't always see eye to eye about different things. But please, 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 I empower you. We've waited 20-something years for this team to be this team right here, right now. Do not fight with each other over petty things.
Yeah.
Take this all in and enjoy this ride. We've come too far together through too many bad years to be petty and fight over just carelessness. I call it, excuse my language, dumb shit.
Yeah.
Enjoy this ride. Come together. Because you never know when this ride ends. Especially in the NFL. These can be one-year rides or short-lived. Look at the Bengals. About 6 months ago, they were in the Super Bowl. Now, they're 0-2. Just that quickly, things can change. So please, just enjoy the ride. Let's get along. James, any final thoughts before we go?
Final thought is, Bills, keep doing what you do. No need to try to reinvent the wheel. Do what we do. Leslie Frazier, stay true to yourself. Ken Dorsey, stay true to yourself. The special teams, keep balling out. And we don't have another discussion of Bill's dominance next week, JT, if that stays true.
Okay, I tell you what. Since I'm co-owner of the Mafia Homecoming Party, right? If the Bills win, this is on you, James, right? This is on you, man.
Yeah.
If the Bills win this game by 20 points or more, I will release a flash promo code for 20% off the Mafia Homecoming Party tickets for 3 days following the Bills game. Mark that down. 20% off. I'll mark it down if the Bills can beat the Dolphins by 20% or more. And I'll let it stay for 3 days.
No. Yeah, I like that.
Let's
that. Do it. What about this?
Oh. Here we go.
We could do that, JT.
Uh-huh.
But also, if we can do something with live viewers, if the Bills win by, what was the number we just said, 20?
20%. 20 points.
Win by how much? You said they win, period, or if they win by number?
You said by 20 points.
Okay, if the Bills win by 20 points.
Uh-huh.
I'll buy somebody a ticket. I'll buy somebody a ticket to the homecoming party, but they got to be watching, so we can do something random. We'll figure it out. They got to be watching live, watching live during the show. I'll give out one free ticket.
I'll double it. I'll match it. I will be two tickets.
Two tickets free.
It'll be two tickets because I'll buy one, you buy one.
Got it.
Cool. We can do that. And like I said, if you guys don't know what the Mafia Homecoming Party is, it's a party that I throw my guy Dan Gambino every year. This year, just so you people don't know, the ones who don't know, it's the third annual Mafia Homecoming Party. It's going to be 4 hours open bar. There's a bourbon tasting. There's also going to be a barbecue buffet. It's hosted by Eric Wood. And Matt Perino, the Bills reporter, is the official MC. Like I said, it's going to be a great time. And we're probably still going to add more stuff. So just stay tuned on that note. We're going to be adding more. Trust me. We're not done yet. So we're trying to make this party the best it is. We've had it at Soho the last couple of years. Gracious, thank you for them for having us. But this year, Resurgence, we wanted to make an experience. And I got my homegirl, Tisha Parker, bringing everything together for us for Visions LLC. So please, I want to see all you Bills Mafia fans there. And yeah. Let's do this. But final thoughts for me, man. The Bills. wait, well, anybody know we have no date for Miami and Buffalo? I have two tickets to come up, but the date for the game to book flights, when will we know? What do they mean, no date?
Is that the end of the year one when they say either it's going to be Saturday or Sunday?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The Patriots like that too, Mahal, because I wanted to buy Patriot tickets. I think it's a flex. So it may be if it's an important divisional game, like where it's like, game behind or something like that, that game will probably be moved to like a flex, like an 8:15 game that night. So that's probably why you don't have a date for it. And if the Dolphins stink, then they may be moved to a Saturday at like noon. So that's probably why you have it's a flex game. I think they did that the other year with the Bills Patriots, didn't they, when they moved the Bills Patriots to 8:15 on a Sunday night or Saturday night?
Yeah, something like that.
Ooh, what is a safe flight schedule? Should probably get there by Saturday morning at latest or Friday night if it was me, to be honest with you. That's what I just plan to be in town for a couple of days. But as you get closer, you probably won't know until the season, till you get to that point, though. Yeah, last minute. So, but yeah, I think that the Bills are playing great. Enjoy the ride. I think we beat teams by a combined 72-19 for the first two games of the year. We'll see what that trend continues. I think we beat Miami last year like 108 to like something crazy the last couple of games. So, just keep doing what they're doing. Miami has a lot of speed, which has neutralized it. But like I said, pass rush neutralizes everything. And right now, it's looking like we got one of the best, if not the best, defense line in the league. So that's what Von Miller was brought here to do. He's doing it. Keep doing it. As always, thank you guys for joining us. Hopefully see all you guys at the Mafia Homecoming Party. I'm going to be promoting it. So please get your tickets. Bring your friends. Bring your family members. It'll be 18 and plus. If you have children that you want to bring, you're responsible for, please contact me on the Mafia Homecoming page. With 2 week work center, I'll get you out, get you there. And yeah, as always, thank you for tuning in tonight. I'm your host, JTM. Got the NFL pedigree there, James Mallory, and we'll catch you later. Peace. Go Bills.